السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, respected brothers, over the past 3 or 4 weeks we have been discussing the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I have prescribed fasting upon you as I prescribed on those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be able to restrain yourself from all things that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared as haram. That's a general meaning. So that you may have khawf of Allah ta'ala in your heart, so that you may have fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab and restrain yourself. Or that you have so much of love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you fear His displeasure and you restrain yourself. But to develop this taqwa, Allah ta'ala gave us this Mubarak month of Ramadan, which is almost come to an end. The ayat of the Quran Sharif we had discussed to some extent. It's not possible to go into details in the limited time, but I had commenced with the hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to taqwa, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah, or he didn't even mention on the day of Qiyamah, he just said the closest to me are those people who are muttaqeen, wherever they may be, whosoever they may be. But if they've got taqwa, then they are close to me. If they haven't got taqwa, then they can make very, very loud claims, but they are not anywhere near me. Now that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is announcing, that, oh my beloved ummatis, if you want my closeness, then there is no other way. There's only one way, and that is to restrain yourself from all haram things and do whatever Allah ta'ala has ordered, then you will be close to me. Develop taqwa. Then we went on to the different explanations of taqwa by different people, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi and others. And I think we were discussing Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he was questioned that what is taqwa, then he said, Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. It was coincidental that Maulana discussed the latter part of the same hadith in his Sunday talk. But nevertheless, for those people who were not here, or because he discussed only one aspect of it, Nabi Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the first thing about taqwa is al-khawfu min al-jaleel, that the person has this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab, Allah ta'ala's displeasure, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger. Last night I mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua, which again comes to mind, that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dua, he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka radaaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wan nar. That the first thing he asks Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is his rada, his pleasure, that Allah must be pleased, and then he says jannat. So he gives jannat secondary status, and the first or primary status is that of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rada and pleasure. And when it comes to protection from the fire of jahannam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first says, O Allah, I seek protection in you from your anger, from anything that displeases you, I seek protection. And then I seek protection from the azab of Jahannam. Giving us a very, very clear picture that there are two things. One is the rada and the pleasure of Allah, and the other is His displeasure and His anger. Now we as believers, we as Muslims, there is no choice. We know that there is no other support that we can lean on. There is no one for us except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There are many, many issues that we can discuss. And alhamdulillah, we have been discussing many things about economics and Islamic marriages and so many other issues relating to halal, haram and lies and cheating and hasad and jealousy and pride and so many things we have been discussed in the Friday talks. But this month of Ramadan, because it is for the development of this taqwa, therefore the emphasis is placed on this point. That until we don't get taqwa, it will be difficult to practice on all the rest of the things. Therefore, if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the very beginning, what does He say? Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. This book, there is no doubt. If any person has any doubt with regards to anything that is in the Quran Sharif, then that is a weakness of his own intelligence, or it is a shortcoming of his, or he does not have the proper knowledge, or he does not have that kind of faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's existence and might and power. Therefore, he is finding problem with the Quran Sharif. But in the Quran Sharif itself, if a person is unbiased, if the person is not prejudiced, if the person has an open mind and a heart, and if the person really wants hidayat, then in the Quran Sharif he will find nothing that will be doubtful, nothing at which a person can point a finger. Just take for example the birth of a child. Now the birth of a child, the Quran Sharif mentions the different stages, every 40 days the changes that are taking place. It's another subject altogether. But if a person has to just look at that, medical science only made the research long, long after that, and they didn't find any fault in what the Quran Sharif had mentioned more than 1400 years ago. And again, those people who said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he produced the Quran Sharif. So it was an open challenge to them that a person who did not go to any university, any college, he did not sit at the feet of any professor or lecturer, and he did not do science and botany and biology, but here he is coming up with exactly what scientists came up with after 1400 years. So it shows that the Quran Sharif was not produced by him. It was revealed to him. So in the early ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this book, there is no doubt in it. There is no doubt. If a person really wants to understand and he's got an open mind, then it will give him nothing but guidance. But if a person is reading it to find faults, to find some kind of justification for his sins and for his evil actions and deeds, then he will find lots of places where he can find justification. Then it will be just like that one person who was drinking, but not making any salat. He was drinking alcohol, liquor, wine, whatever it is. He was addicted to drink, so he never used to make any salat. So when somebody told him that, well, but why is it that you don't make salat? Namaz is first 5 times a day. He said, yes, but don't you read the Quran Sharif? He said, what does the Quran Sharif say? Doesn't it say you must read salat? He says, no, look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif. It says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الصَّلَاةِ. Don't go close to salat. Now indeed, I mean, that it is an ayat of the Quran Sharif, but what about what comes after that, وَأَنْتُمْ sukara, and so many other things, and the other places which Allah Ta'ala mentions, and when was this ayat revealed, and for whom was it revealed? So if a person wants to find justification, he can always twist and turn the meanings of the Quran Sharif, and he can find justification for anything. People are finding justification for everything from the Quran Sharif and from the hadiths of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything that is haram, they will twist and turn the meaning of some hadith and ayat, as Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam predicted that they will give wine a different name and they will drink it. At present they call wine tonic. It's good for health. I was traveling on the boat some years ago when we used to travel to India by boat. So I had very high temperature, a young student at that time. So one Muslim doctor, he said, take a little bit of wine. He said, it's very good. It will cure this temperature because it's tonic. Now I'm telling you something in the 1960s, what the person said. So what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted is true. It will always come true that people will change the names. Interest, the name has been changed to profit and dividend. So the Quran Sharif says or tells us that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has revealed this book in which there is no doubt. This book, it has got no doubt. But for whom is it a guidance? Hudal lil muttaqeen. It's a guidance for those who have got taqwa. Again, those people who have got taqwa, it is a guidance for them. I think I explained this in some other talk of mine, that the question then arises that if it is a guidance for those people who are muttaqeen, then they are muttaqeen. Then what was the need for the whole Quran Sharif for them? The guidance was supposed to be for the people who did not as yet have taqwa. Guidance was supposed to be for the disbelievers. Guidance was supposed to be for the believers who are not practical on Islamic teachings. Weak people like us, full of sins and evil. Then it should have been a guidance. Now here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says it is a guidance, but for the people who have got taqwa, for the people who are muttaqeen. So the reply to that, Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi gave a very beautiful reply. He says that when you say that this is a course for BA students, You see, it is a cause for BA graduates, for BA students, or for matriculants. This cause is for matriculants. Then does it mean that the student has first to be a matriculant, then only he will be able to do the cause? If you say this is a cause for matriculants, then it means that if he does that cause, he will become a matriculant. In the same way, the Quran Sharif is hudal lil muttaqeen. That means if the person practices on the teachings of the Quran Sharif, he will become muttaqi. It is a cause for the muttaqeen, that if the person goes through it, understands it and makes amal on it, then he will become a muttaqi, just like that matric student. If he completes that course, he will become a matriculant. And the other meaning is this, that only for those people you say that they have got hidayat. The Quran Sharif is hidayat for the muttaqeen, means that only those who have got taqwa, or those people who have made up their minds that we want taqwa and we are going to follow each and everything that the Quran Sharif teaches, then it will be hidayat for them. But the person who is not interested in following or practicing, then he will read and read, but it will not be a means of hidayat, because he is not intending to get hidayat from it. So at the end of the reading, he will still be the same, just as he was before. So Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, hidayat again for the muttaqeen. If you look at so many different ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after some hukam of his, he will bring in fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to indicate to us that it will become easy to practice if you have khawf of Allah Ta'ala in your heart, that my Allah is supreme, my Allah is great, my Allah is watching, He is hearing, He is seeing, He is knowing, so therefore I must make amal, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one in whose hands my life lies. So then it will become very easy for this person to practice. Therefore that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again comes to mind, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me some nasihat, some wasiyat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Alayka bi taqwallah. Besides the other things that he mentioned, the first thing he said, Alayka bi taqwallah, that adopt taqwa in your lives. Stay away from those things which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared as haram. Then what will happen? This taqwa, he says, is the root of all virtuous deeds. When we plant a seed, it germinates. After that, slowly it grows into a tree. And then it bears a lot of fruit. So whatever kind of seed you have planted, later on the fruits will be of that same seed. If a person plants a mango seed, he is not going to get apples at the end of the day. So in the same way, if we are going to plant the seeds of sins, then we are not going to get the fruits of virtues afterwards. Because we are planting the sins, the seeds of sins, they are germinating. And then they are leading us to more sins, more sins. It is bearing fruits, lot of fruit. So now we have to go to the root again. So the root of taqwa, the root of virtuous deeds is taqwa. Plant the seeds of taqwa, and then you will find when the tree of taqwa grows, then you will find all the fruits of taqwa. Then that person will have ideal character. His akhlaq will be something that will distinguish himself from other nations and communities and other people. That this person has got taqwa. That is why his akhlaq is like that. When you look at his dealings, then because of the taqwa now, the fruits now, that seed that he planted of taqwa, now the fruits that he is bearing, that when this person is now dealing, so in his dealings, they will find honesty, the person will find truthfulness. The non-Muslim too will say that, look at this person, here he could have been making a big packet if only he accepted the bribe that I gave to him to enter into some fraudulent transaction because he was a manager of the company. But the person said, no, I fear my Allah and I cannot do that, even if the directors are not watching and they are unaware of it, but my Allah is aware of it. So now in his dealings there will be honesty, there will be truthfulness. If the car has done 120,000 kilometers, then he's going to reveal it to the customer and client that this is the mileage that this car has done. If there is any defect in the garment or in the article, then he's going to reveal it to the person that this is the defect. Either you buy it as is, have a good look at it and buy it as is, or you tell the person that this is the defect and that is why I'm charging you this price. Whatever it is, this person will be a very truthful and an honest businessman then. When this person who has planted the seeds of taqwa, because that is the root, now that root has taken shape and form and it has grown into a huge tree, now the fruits, we are seeing the fruits now of those seeds that were planted. So this person who has got the seeds of taqwa planted, now he will find that when he is going into his home, then with his wife, with his children, with his family members, he is not going to have any kind of problem, because his akhlaq will be the akhlaq of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will believe that I must take upon myself the injustice of the other person, but I mustn't do injustice to anybody else. I must bear it if I have to bear it. As I explained again last night, that Sharia takes into consideration the temperaments of everyone. Therefore, if somebody gives one slap, it's permissible to give that person again one slap. But the problem is that the person does not stop at one slap. The person then goes beyond that. That person only gave one slap. But this person now, in retaliation, he swears that person's father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and he also kicks him, boots him, and if he can help it, he sometimes even shoots him. So now this person, at one time he was mazloom, where Allah Ta'ala's madad and help would have come to him because he was mazloom. The mazloom, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that his ah is never rejected. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned considerably that never ever do injustice to anybody, because the mazloom, the person on whom injustice has been done, his ah definitely reaches Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is no barrier between the person's ah, deep-hearted pain, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's just that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sometimes punishes that person, the one who has made zulm, a little later, gives him a little respite, so that he becomes more and more committed to his injustice, and thereafter gives him one time such punishment that he sees stars after that. So never ever do injustice to anybody. So now this person who planted the seeds of taqwa, now the fruits will be seen in his relationship with his family. The fruits will be seen in his relationship with his customers and clients. The fruits will be seen in his relationship with his wife and with his children. That this person will have now akhlaq, he will have the fruits of taqwa. So this taqwa, if we have to really go into deep details, then everywhere you will find the effects of it. They will be walking angels. They will be angels in human form. Because the angels, they do not have anything to restrain themselves from. There is no such thing as they are going to be tempted to commit zina or adultery. They are not going to be tempted to steal. The angels are not going to be tempted to commit fraud. The angels are a creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in anything that Allah ta'ala has ordered. And whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructs them, they carry it out. So if Allah ta'ala told them to remain in sajda all their lives, then there are some angels who will remain in sajda all their lives. And they don't get tired, and they will not be disobeying Allah ta'ala. Whatever duty Allah ta'ala has given any angel to perform, they will perform. But human beings, because they have been given this choice, either they do good or they do evil, Allah ta'ala has given them a willpower to test them. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That who or which one amongst you does the best of deeds? Which one does the best of deeds? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to test. That is why he created maut and hayat. Death and life has been created so that Allah ta'ala may test and see that which one does the best of deeds. So now this person has to restrain himself everywhere. So now he becomes higher than the status of the angels. And when the person goes down, sliding lower and lower, then he becomes worse than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُ. So that person then lowers himself, degrades himself, goes even further down than the animals. The animals are not mukallaf, they will not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah for their actions. So therefore, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Al-Khawfu min al-Jalil. Unfortunately, we could not even go very much further. But this is the main thing, that if the person has this khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart, then it is very, very easy to restrain from everything that is haram and forbidden. There will be a little difficulty sometimes, a little bit of pain on the heart. But believe me, when you destroy that temptation, you will be surprised how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you much, much more from sources least expected. Least expected. If we give you some examples, then sometimes we get scared that it might become like bragging about our own deeds or something like that. Therefore, we withhold ourselves. But believe me, that if you are going to restrain yourself, you'll be surprised how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide from sources least expected. At present, people get a lot of letters in the post from companies far and wide that if you buy this ticket for 5 rand, 10 rand, 20 rand, then you will win a Mercedes Benz. Or you get all this kind of insurance policies that are coming. Life insurance, death insurance, this insurance, that insurance. There's so much of kinds of insurance. And the moment you fall sick, then all the medical expenses will be taken care of and all the rest of it. Now, I am not arguing on that issue. There are certain fatwas that you must ask the mufti sahabs and maulanas that what kind of insurance is permissible and what is not. But what I am saying, that when there is temptation of this kind that is coming through the post, now at that time the person just picks it up, he sees that this is something that's tempting me now towards haram, because there's gamble involved here and there's interest involved and there's other kind of haram involved. So the person just tears it up and throws it in the bin. Now at that time the temptation came, or a pretty woman tempted the person. At that time he turned his gaze, the pain came on his heart. But believe me, when the person is going to restrain himself like that, within a few days, within a few minutes, sometime within a few seconds, the person sees the effects of that restraining. If Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, now the person restrained himself from some haram that was tempting him. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saves him from some other kind of problem. He was in some serious problem and he was not finding a solution to that problem. He was going towards this way and that way, people to people, but he just couldn't find a way out. Now here the person restrained himself from haram. And suddenly after that, like a flash in his head, something comes that do this, do that, and he finds a way out of his problem. How many times it has happened? So many people that were out of jobs, they were unemployed, they had other kind of difficulties and problems. But when they were told that there is no other solution except to make istighfar, plenty of tawbah, give up the sins and turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and then make use of the means. So before they could go for the means came towards them. Before they could go for the means, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made those means come towards them. And this is with qasam we can state it in the masjid. So therefore I am saying that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he had such love for the ummah, such love for the ummah, he didn't want to see any ummati suffer any kind of problem and difficulty in this world. Difficulties and suffering for the sake of deen is something else. That when the person takes upon himself suffering for the sake of deen, that he even loses his life in the battlefield and becomes a martyr, then that is not a suffering. That gives such kind of pleasure and joy in the heart that the shaheed will say on the day of Qiyamah that, oh Allah, send me back to the world. Because everybody else in Jannah, they will say, no, we don't need anything now. But the shaheed will say that, ya Allah, it is still my desire that I be sent to the world and I be made shaheed and get life and made shaheed and get life and made shaheed. So there must have been some kind of enjoyment in that shahada that the person wants to go back. But nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was rahmatul lil alameen, he did not want anybody to suffer in this world. So he gave us this prescription. And the Quran Sharif also, Allah Ta'ala gave us this prescription, that develop taqwa. Stay away from that which Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared as haram. And then it is a promise of Allah Ta'ala. Our promises we break. Daily we make promises and we break. But وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who is there more truthful than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? There is no question of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaking a lie. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He makes promises, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. He will fulfill it. But we have to fulfill our side of the contract, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will fulfill His side. And that is that we develop taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala will fulfill His side. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life and another opportunity, then we will continue. Because taqwa is not only for the month of Ramadan, it is for throughout one's life. May Allah Ta'ala give me first of all the tawfiq to make amal on whatever I preach and teach. And may Allah Ta'ala give the entire ummah this great ni'mat and dawlat of taqwa. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties and the hardships of the ummah throughout the world. And this month of Ramadan, whatever fasting, zakat, lillah, zakat, sadqat, and sasbihat and zikr and tilawat and whatever we may have made, may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.